Today on Seculo, shocking new polling data shows important voting groups breaking toward Donald Trump.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, welcome to Seculo. We're going to talk politics today, get into some recent polling as we get closer to into the summer, you know, the election months. Even Donald Trump, during these trials, taking the time he can to get out on the campaign trail at least every Wednesday, and even trying to do campaign events in New York City after the trial, meeting with leaders, going by firehouses, trying to do some normal political events, and then, of course, on the weekends as well, and trying to raise money because the Democrats are raising a lot of money as well. And we're starting to see polls come out that are pretty interesting amongst different groups. And the first one we wanted to kind of look at, I think, Logan, was Catholic voters. Now, this is important because Catholic voters in the last election cycle favored President Biden. It was about, I think, 55% of Catholic support. 45% of Catholics supported Biden in the same one-on-one pairing this year. But he previously, in 2020, Biden, they preferred Biden 67 to 26. I mean, it was almost 70-30 Catholic voters to President Biden.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Who is Catholic?
I think that's true. It is Catholic. And honestly, let's say even pre-Obama years, but even more recently, took some more historically Catholic positions, but he has taken a lot of those back over the last 4 years as he's rolled out much more. He was one of the ones who was sort of a pro-life Democrat for a good portion of his career,
right,
and now has gone to the far end of the extreme on that to satisfy the left base.
Yeah, I'd say he did a lot of the social justice that's still part of the Catholic Church, even the evangelical Catholic Church, but with the pro-life view. And I mean, he was pretty hard, hardcore pro-life.
It was like his baby.
Most of his Senate career. And then this breaks it down even more, though. So early on, you know, the poll found there was 55% of Catholic support now are leaning towards President Trump in a head-to-head match. But when you start looking at in a one-on-one pairing, only 45% of Catholics support President Biden. But when you start looking at Hispanic Catholics, this is where the lead kind of starts to shift and narrow. Biden only leads among Hispanic Catholics 49 to 47%. That is a tie. In 2020, Hispanic Catholics preferred Biden to Trump 67 to 26%.
Yeah, I mean, that is a giant.
How can President Biden, and we know there's going to be more Hispanic voters in probably this cycle than there were 4 years ago, just because there's going to be more people turning 18, 19, 20, there's going to be more. You know,
yeah, as society moves forward, that's just going to be how it is.
So if that number holds, that is very troubling for President Biden, and that's across the country. That's not like just, you know, a lot of those voters are in California, which will go blue anyways, and Texas, which will go red anyways. These are how you not only win states, Logan, but you also, where you've got new workforces, you've got immigrant populations, places like the Rust Belt, where people who are coming to the country and are working those jobs no one else will, are not necessarily just on the border states or states. They're in purple states, hardworking states. And so shifts like that, that went from basically tied or Joe Biden with a 10-15 point lead to Donald Trump with a almost 70% lead amongst those voters, when he's the one saying secure the border, when he's the one saying shut it down, and it's Joe Biden who thinks he's going to get those voters by saying we want to let everyone in. But these are American citizens that are Hispanic Catholic voters. These are not non-citizen Hispanic Catholics.
No, and we know we have a lot of viewers who are Hispanic. We know that that is in a big portion of our audience the entire time. We've even considered releasing Spanish-exclusive programming where this show gets translated. We're actually in constant talks about that because we know that it's not just a one-sided issue here, especially those who are believers. We'd love to hear from you. If you're part of that community, we'd love to hear from you or not. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. What's your reaction to this polling? Also, response from RFK and his polling. We'll get to that coming up, too. Pretty interesting.
And Protestants.
Yeah.
Protestants. Not evangelical Protestants, just Protestants. Where are they?
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
I said Protestants, and this is not evangelical Protestants. So when we talked about the Catholic vote there, we talked about then the Hispanic Catholic vote, so we're breaking that down, and how, again, in 2020, you had Biden preferred by Hispanic Catholics 67-26, and now that's switched to, again, now basically tied, and it's moving more towards Trump. So, I mean, that is going to be a big pain for Joe Biden. When you look at Protestants, and by the way, these are not evangelical Protestants. It's not broken down that way. It's just
anyone who identifies as a Protestant.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty generic. Kind of like if you're just identified as Catholic.
Yeah, or a Christian. If you're an American Christian, yeah.
60% of Protestants expressed support for Trump, and about 38% said they lead towards Biden. So, again,
we have an evangelical one also, which is, I mean, much more extreme, which is 81%,
yeah.
As you'd kind of expect.
But what's interesting is that When you're looking at Protestants, you're talking about also like the mainline churches. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the numbers were the last election cycle, and I still they probably favored Trump a bit, but there was a lot of weird stuff going on. It was COVID. It was a bizarre time, to say the least. Things were shut down. Voting was weird. Election integrity was bizarre, to say the least. When you look at this, that even 60% of Protestants, generic Protestants, that's mainline churches, right now would vote for President Trump. I mean, what's really going to change between now and Election Day that would have that 60%, 30% of them switch over to Joe Biden?
I guess you could say the amount of stuff they've thrown at President Trump, what else could there possibly be?
When I look at Protestants, and it's not the evangelical Protestants, think these are voters who are pocketbook voters. These are voters who are, their number one issue might not be life.
Yeah.
It might not be the social issues.
No.
It's the economy, probably.
Yeah, which is probably the majority of people.
And it's, so it's not going to be like, well, I don't like the fact that Trump's in court and all this kind of stuff. It's going to be, well, the inflation's not going down.
The
interest rates aren't going down like we thought. They may try to pull a political move.
Yeah,
maybe they will very late, but right now they're not.
Yeah.
And I think what is interesting is when you then look at the problems that we've pointed out from the Biden administration about what they've done to Catholics. And we just got a response back from the FBI in our FOIA that we filed against the FBI about its targeting, remember, of radical traditionalist Catholics. There's the FOIA that you see. The FBI has now responded to the court and said that it found 1,200 pages of documents that are responsive to the FOIA about targeting radical traditionalist Christians. Logan, we thought it was one page in Richmond,
yeah,
and one that was taken down off the board that didn't get anywhere. Then we found out it got to all the field offices. Yeah, then we found out that they actually had an agent inside a Catholic
while they
church.
Were denying a lot of this even happened.
Denying, yes, Christopher Wray was denying it. Then he was having to go back and
well, maybe a little bit.
Right. You know. And then we find out that they actually had agents going in undercover to recruit other potential, spies for them inside the church to identify those who were traditional with their faith, so maybe attended Latin Mass or regularly attended church, Catholic church. And again, if you're a Catholic and you, again, politically, you know that the FBI is doing this to you. You realize, you know, they think that you're the enemy.
Yep.
And the Democrat Party and their law enforcement agencies think you are a problem in the country. And you start thinking, you know what, if they think I'm the enemy, maybe I need to look at that other party.
Yeah. And as much as so that there is 1,200 pages of documents, you know, full big documents.
Could you imagine
about
how bad
this?
That would read? Like, I mean, they'll redact as much as
yes,
they can, and we'll get as much as we can before the election out as possible. But you know they will try to redact a lot of it because it is going to be highly offensive to, I think, all religious people.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a radical traditionalist Catholic. I just think you need to be a person of faith.
Yeah, that's a Bible, you know, pretty much, of documents. It's a Bible-sized amount of documents
right.
about or pages about going after people of faith. You know, like they said, radical traditional Catholics.
Yes. And I mean, when you think about that as a person of faith, don't just think about it as a Catholic. You think about what they might be doing to evangelicals. This was exposed because one, you know, we had the whistleblowers
yeah.
who saw it on the board. And then we realized it wasn't just on the board and taken down, but that one letter they said, oh, we would never do this, and we took it down immediately. It made its way all across their field offices, and they were actually taking action on it. Who knows what they're doing inside your evangelical church? We've sent out the warning before. Well, I'll say it again. If people start showing up at your church, or somebody starts showing up at your church, some guy starts showing up at your church asking weird questions about behaviors that are not normal at your church, like militants, and is anybody here kind of, you know, too wild, too gun crazy,
keep aware,
crumpy. Think about it for a second if you've heard our show, and remember that they sent them into Catholic churches. They're likely sending them in to evangelical churches. We just haven't been able to find that yet.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a lot of calls coming in, actually, related to that poll that came out, and we want to break that down. Let's first go to Oscar, who's calling in California on line one. Oscar, you're on the air.
Hi. I always hear you guys. I love your show, number one show. And I just wanted to say that we need Trump badly, because look at all these Democrats are doing. I mean, all the disgrace, the border, and these colleges and stuff. We need to get rid of Obama and Biden. And it's just so much bad going on. And the Hispanics, I want to say, let's go, vamos, votemos por Trump. We need a 911 emergency.
Yeah, listen, when you say Obama, it's true to so much extent because so many of the people in this administration, they just moved up a step.
Yeah, I'd say
they got the next job.
More extreme Obama.
Yes, yeah. Because these were the
Obama
mid-level
was at least
staff.
Trying to pretend to play to the whole country.
He was a better politician than Joe Biden, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are. And he had more control over his staff.
Yeah.
Obviously, you never felt like Obama wasn't running things because he was young and he was very involved. He was kind of like a Clinton style.
Yes.
And a Trump style. Very involved. Joe Biden, you feel like he's just getting talking points and reading them and doesn't even know what's going to be on them until he gets them.
Which is why he contradicts himself and he'll say something that he is in favor of. And then, of course, his official position is the other way around.
Do you want to go to that RFK poll?
Yeah, we'll briefly bring it up. RFK, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who obviously has been that sort of third party independence running. And by the way, the two polls have come out in relation to that, a general election poll from Rasmussen that just hit a few minutes ago. We'll cover that. But one that he put out yesterday, and it showed with a poll of over 26,000 Rizogby that were polled, and it obviously is not how it's going to roll. But it put, if Biden versus Trump, they said Trump wins by a very comfortable margin. Trump versus Kennedy wins, and it in a close race, and Kennedy versus Biden, if it was head to head, Kennedy wins in a landslide. Now, you can say, obviously, that that's
easy.
Yeah, well, because conservatives, Republicans have, are going to vote for Kennedy.
If you had no other option,
yeah,
but Joe Biden or Kennedy, you'd just vote for Kennedy.
Yeah.
If enough people even showed up, I guess, because depending on how he campaigned.
Yeah.
And I think he would probably win. I don't know about a landslide because I'm not sure people would be that excited about it.
Yeah. Well, here's the interesting one. The general election poll that just dropped has three people in this race, RFK, Biden, and Trump. Trump wins with the current polling, 46%, Biden at 36%, and RFK Jr. at 9%, which is a pretty sizable amount. That is a spoiler territory.
That is, where do you think that 9% is coming from?
Right.
There, that's the Joe Biden, because if you take RFK Jr. out, most polls are showing it pretty close right now.
Yeah, that's a
you don't get a lot of polls of Trump versus Biden with Trump with a 10-point lead. No. If RFK is not in it, with RFK in it, and he's got, you know, Biden's now down 10 points, and RFK's got 9 of them. I'm thinking they're all coming from Biden.
They're all, well, they don't want to vote for Trump.
That's because
it's fine
because
they don't want to vote for Trump, right. But they can't look around what's happening in this world and saying this is what we have to deal with. That's who we're going to vote for. So in somewhat, it's probably some reason that people voted for Biden in the first place. And we know the RFK is now qualified to be on 10 state ballots, including some big ones.
Right. And some Midwestern states. Yeah. And those are the states that are going to decide the election. I mean, I think he's strategically going to be on the states, if he can, that are the states that determine, you know, the outcome of the election. So he won't be in every state where he has a chance of actually winning probably the electoral ever.
Yeah.
But, you know, he doesn't really need to be in those.
Oh, he was very upfront and said, in the three-way race, I lose. Yep. By the way, he's not one of those people going out there saying, I'm going to win. He goes, no, if it's in the three-way race, I'm going to lose. But, you know, could it cause a lot of dissent and a lot of interest? I mean, he's doing a big event here next week. I am curious, and he's taking very interesting points of view. Like, his new life statement is very interesting.
Very different than his previous statement.
Very different.
Well, I mean, listen, folks, the election is 6 months away, and it's vitally important that we defend election integrity and the Constitution. We know the left is going to stop at nothing to push a narrative for their preferred candidate that some kind of election, you know, it's stolen from them. And we know states and localities are making election changes that invite fraud. This is happening all over the country, legalizing ballot harvesting, banning voter ID, and forcing mail-in ballots. We already defeated the left's attempt to remove Trump from the ballot, remember that, and cancel your right to vote. We did that at the U.S. Supreme Court. Our legal team is already preparing for the fight ahead, and we're ready to go back to the Supreme Court if necessary to protect the integrity of this vital election. But we need to hear from you. Sign our petition right now for election integrity at aclj.org/sign.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are joined by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State, former CIA Director, Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, we are learning more and more about how Iran is really funding its terror, funding the attacks on Israel, funding its proxy attacks on Israel as well. But even, you know, being so bold now is actually firing weapons from Iran into Israel, and Israel, of course, firing back. And we're learning that they are exporting about 1.5 million barrels of oil per day, mostly to China, and that the Trump administration had it as low as about half. It's 700,000 per day. So why can't the Biden administration enforce sanctions against Iran like the Trump administration, your administration, did?
Well, Jordan, it's great to be with you. Look, they, of course, can do it. They have made a choice not to. They made a policy decision not to do that. They have literally, since the first day that they came into office, undone all of the pressure campaign that we had on the Iranians. And this wasn't out of spite. We did this to keep Americans safe, to keep Israelis safe, to keep the Middle East more stable. We had put enormous financial pressure on them. You're right. They're selling more than 1.5 million barrels of oil per day, creating a growth for the Iranian economy that exceeded the growth of the American economy in 2023 and probably will again this year. We know, too, that they say from time to time, well, you can't really stop them from selling this oil. And if you did, prices would go up. That's just, Jordan, that's just nonsense. We had them down to actually as little as about 350,000 barrels a day. And then we asked our Gulf Arab friends, we said, we need you to help. And we kept the price of crude oil, open market crude oil, lower than it was when we began our pressure campaign. So it is possible to protect the American economy and protect American national security. And the Biden administration has just chosen to play footsie with the Iranians. And you can see the result of that, the Middle East aflame.
Yeah, I mean, this is how Iran gives Hezbollah $700 million every year. I mean, that's a great way to fund a paramilitary force. That's much more than just a random terror group. That is $700 million a year. Lets you set a pretty official military, as they have in Lebanon, throughout politics and every level of society, including military. And of course, it's a terror group right on Israel's border. But is the United States then allowing the funding of the Hezbollah terrorists by not enforcing the sanctions? I mean, would the $700 million be there for them if they just enforced the sanctions that were there?
Let's just cut to the chase here. Your question's the exact right one. Does it work? Did the sanctions that were put in place in the Trump administration actually work? Let's not take my word for it. Let's take the president of Iran, President Rouhani, who said that in 2019, he said this cost the regime $200 billion. Jordan, think about that, $200 billion that the Trump administration enforcement actions cost the Iranian regime. That's money for the Houthis that are shooting missiles into ships in the Persian Gulf. It is the Hezbollah. It's what happened in Hamas. And it is, we should never forget, it is the backbone of them being able to build out the full range of their nuclear program, including the capacity to launch missiles to deliver those nuclear weapons. This is deeply dangerous. And we know that what the Trump administration did worked. And we know that the Biden administration has made a policy choice not to enforce those sanctions. We need to get back to that. It takes hard work. Brian Hook, my team at the State Department, worked on this every day. We were every day stopping small things, big things, medium-sized things from transiting and revenue from flowing into Iran. And we reduced their capacity to be that world's largest state sponsor of terror.
I think by $200 billion. And that's a lot tougher to fund and get nearly $1 billion to Hezbollah or to Hamas to launch attacks on Israel, or to feel bold enough to fire your own attacks onto Israel. You wouldn't, because you wouldn't have the money to even fund the weapons to fire the weapons or to have the, or even pay the military forces and your Iran, the Revolutionary Guard as well. But we know now Iran isn't just working with terror proxies, that China is deeply involved in economically propping. They've made that decision for now to economically prop up the terror regime. And you've got Israel's kind of stuck in the middle and the U.S. kind of playing on both sides right now. I mean, is this leading towards like a Cold War scenario, or is there a way to convince the Chinese to come back to the table and come back towards our way. At least say, you know, doing business with Iran is not going to be good for the Chinese Communist Party.
This is definitely a thing that the United States can have profound influence on. You can reduce the chance that the Iranians, the Russians, and the Chinese will work together. What you can't do is, you know, Secretary Blinken went, and I think it sounds like, according to the U.S. readout, he told the Chinese government, hey, stop doing this. Stop helping the Russians in Ukraine or else. But of course, John, what you and I have both seen is there's no or else from this administration. It is all carrot, no stick. And when you stop enforcing sanctions against Iran, when you reduce the capacity to hold accountable the bad actors in China who are underwriting this, you make them, embolden them to move freely about the cabin and create risk. This is what we're seeing today. We need leadership on the global stage in America that doesn't threaten things it doesn't intend. But man, when it makes a commitment and it says, hey, we've got this sanction, we're going to enforce it, it actually does. And, you know, I'll hear the Biden administration say, goodness, if we did that, it would upset the economy. Well, while we were doing these sanctions on Iran, the American economy was flourishing as well. We were doing great. And now we are not enforcing sanctions against Iran, and the American economy is suffering. I think they've grabbed the wrong end of the stick. We have to get this back. If we don't, you will see further instability in the Middle East, continued conflict in Europe, and I'm afraid you increase the probability that will be actual conflict in Asia and the Pacific as well.
I wanted to ask you, because this is so important to not just Israel and not just Gaza or Hamas, but to the entire world right now, and even in our own country with the protests that we're seeing, what happens at the UN, because Israel's given Hamas a one-week moment to strike a deal to either release the remaining hostages, both those that are the bodies and those who are still living, or they are going to begin the incursion into Rafah, which has not happened yet. And people believe, you know, it would be a pretty big escalation into casualties. Do you think Israel's cornered Hamas militarily to the point where they may consider that? Or are we about to see what is not just a major military action, but also a major diplomatic, I'm trying to think of that. I mean, it could be a major diplomatic breakdown by the Biden administration. I don't know how they'd handle it at the UN if Israel has to go the route of going into Rafah.
Jordan, I hope I'm wrong, but I suspect that Israel is going to have to continue to tighten pressure and continue to move on Rafah. That's partly because Hamas itself is cornered as well. My guess is that they don't want to hand over those hostages because they know, in fact, that will be the end of them, the leadership of Hamas. And so they're willing to take this risk. I think, sadly, Jordan, we've encouraged that behavior. You encourage that behavior when you are constantly publicly, from the most senior officials like Biden and Blinken down to mid-level people at the State Department, warning Israel not to act too aggressively. That is encouraging and emboldening Hamas and Iran. And so I think we've made it harder to negotiate this solution than it had to be. Had we led properly and told Israel, do what you need to do, and we were unequivocal, we were clear about moral right and wrong, I think we might well have a chance to actually get the living hostages back and reduce the risk that there'd be more innocent Gazans that would be killed as collateral damage in a conflict in Gaza.
Secretary Pompeo, it's great to have you as part of the team at the ACLJ. And folks, your support of the ACLJ goes right to that. That's why we have Secretary Pompeo on our team, both for the broadcast, but also to advise us behind the scenes on these issues. Go to ACLJ.org right now. You can support the work of the ACLJ financially at ACLJ.org. We can continue to build out our team and provide you this excellent information publicly and the work behind the scenes as well. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.